This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Richard Benedetto, longtime White House correspondent for USA Today. He's now a professor of politics and journalism at both American University and Georgetown University here in the nation's capital. And Richard, it's always great to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
We want to talk to you today about some of the ramifications of the Massachusetts Senate race. But before we get to those, let me just get your thoughts on how this race is being couched now that Republicans have a chance, and I guess at this point are slightly favored to win that seat today. Is this a major historical shift in just a year's time, or is this typically what presidents who have the control of the Congress face about a year into their term?
I'm not certain I would go so far as to say it's an historical shift. It certainly is an amazing feat if the Republicans are able to pull it off. I mean, when you think about the seat belonging to Ted Kennedy and Massachusetts being so heavily a Democratic state, the idea that the Republicans, 1 year after an election in which they were written off for buried and dead and buried, show amazing signs of life. But it's still a little bit early to calculate what it might mean in November.
Richard, there's already been some wrangling up on Capitol Hill about what will happen if, in fact, Scott Brown wins and the Democrats no longer have that supermajority up on Capitol Hill, starting with what happens with the health care legislation. The two things we're hearing about are, one, the House passing the Senate bill as is, which most House Democrats don't seem to like in its current form, and the other option is to strip it down to a reconciliation-type bill, which would take out policy changes and simply leave it to tax and spending-type changes. Which do you see as more likely, if either?
Well, first of all, the Republican has to win in Massachusetts, but if it should happen, the Democrats really have to worry about, have to scramble, because they don't... Either choice is not a good one. They probably would take their chances with trying to convince enough Democrats in the House to go along with it, which would be their easier course. The other course would kind of gut the bill even further and really cut into their ability to say, well, we did something here. This election is really going to throw Democrats into a panic as to whether or not they can retain their majorities in the House and Senate in the November election. So that's the real thing. It certainly is not good news for the health care bill in and of itself.
We're talking with Richard Benedetto, former longtime White House correspondent for USA Today. He now teaches at American and Georgetown Universities, both politics and journalism. And Richard, as I mentioned earlier in the program, Barney Frank of Massachusetts, the longtime congressman, wants to see the filibuster rule done away with in the Senate now that the supermajority could be endangered. If Coakley wins, this discussion is probably moot. But if, in fact, there is no longer a supermajority, he wants to launch this push. And we've seen it before where Republicans wanted to change the rules specifically for judicial nominees a couple of years ago till the Gang of 14 came together. During your years in Washington, how often does this come up? And is it ever really in danger of going away?
It comes up quite often. I was around when they changed it to cloture instead of just having to force a filibuster, where they would have to talk and talk to stop the bill. They had to enforce, when they changed that to 60 votes to stop the debate. That was considered a compromise on the old filibuster rule, but it didn't take the filibuster completely out of it. The other thing was that, you know, whatever party is feels as though its ox is being gored by the rule always talks about let's get rid of it. But both sides see an advantage of being able to invoke it when they're in the minority to prevent the tyranny of the majority from prevailing. So I think that, interestingly enough, that the talk is coming from Newt Gingrich in the House. I mean, from Barney Frank in the House, and the House doesn't have a vote in this one.
It's true what Congressman Frank says, that the filibuster is not enshrined into the Constitution, but the rule has been in effect since pretty early on, correct?
Right. That's right. And it was basically imposed because of the notion of the tyranny of a majority, and so that it gives the minority some strength. Otherwise, the two in the House, you can pretty much do what you want if you have the majority. In the Senate, you can't always do what you want if you have the majority. You have to make an even better case by getting 60 votes. So, and if the Republicans or the party in the minority feels as though the legislation that's being pushed is not to their liking, they can stop it. most of the time they don't. It's on the big things where they have major disagreements that they invoke it.
Do you sense, Richard, that we're seeing it more than we did in years past, or is it just as frequent?
I think it's about the same. I think that this one is pretty wide open and spectacular because it's a big bill that the president is pushing and has made a centerpiece of his whole first year in office, and so therefore it's getting tremendous media coverage. And, you know, the judicial nominations, naturally, don't get that same kind of coverage.
Richard, one more topic before we let you go. Politico reporting today that President Obama, if in fact this seat change happens and Republicans do win in Massachusetts, not going to move back towards the center in advance for November, but put the foot even further down on the accelerator on his agenda to try and create stark differences in the minds of voters going forward. What do you make of that strategy?
I'm not so sure that's a good strategy. I think the voters already know what the stark differences are. If they vote against Martha Coakley in Massachusetts, they know what the difference between the two parties are. And I don't think that that's a good strategy if he's going to do it. I think that what he has to do is try to show some record of accomplishment and hope the economy gets better.
Well, and finally, we saw one more Democratic House member, Vic Snyder, announce he won't run for re-election. If Republicans do win today, do you expect a few more coming down the pike?
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of people in close districts decide to pack it in.
We'll keep an eye out for that. But, of course, this entire conversation has been predicated on an upset in Massachusetts. We'll see if that actually happens. Richard, as always, great to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Richard Benedetto, longtime White House correspondent for USA Today. He now teaches politics and journalism at Georgetown University and American University here in the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.